So we are here at the last great day of the Feast, well, after the Feast of Tabernacles, right? This is its own independent holy day, tied right to the end. And we've been here for, this is the eighth day now. And now that you've, probably gotten used to life here in Vail, Colorado a little bit, it's a great place to be once you get used to the altitude. But here at the Feast, I'm sure that you've begun to develop your own routines. Even though you've only been here for just a few days, it doesn't really take that long for us to start building up various patterns in our daily lives so that we can have an easier time of doing what we do. Even our children, you don't have to be very old to begin developing your own routines. Our kids will wake up and they will play with their toys and run around and ask for snacks. So that's part of their routine. Part of my daily routine, I wake up, I take a shower, I iron my shirt for the day, and right after that I make espresso, and then I go to church. Now that's what has begun to emerge for me is I had several days in the Feast. Now it seems to work. I've been getting by, and that's something I do. However, there's parts that are missing. I haven't really had the opportunity to spend enough time to really tailor my routines to do everything, right? I either need to get up earlier or something. A lot of times I've found that I've not just had a good, solid breakfast. That's one thing. If I had another week, I'd probably try and figure out how to have a better breakfast. Managed to get one today, though, even though it was late to choir practice, but you got to roll with it. The point that I'm trying to make is not just to talk about the, humdrum basic things of life and living here at the Feast. What I want to talk about today are routines. Routines are can work in our lives in a really good way, and we can also have some routines in our life that are not so good. There's good and bad habits that we can develop in our lives. Now, something that sticks out to me is that there is a lot of power in developing good routine behavior. A good routine can help us to function in a way that lets us make decisions ahead of time, right? I do not have to think when I wake up about what I'm going to do. I'd know that I take a shower, iron a shirt, make coffee, and go to church. Those things are automatic, and that's what routines can really help us do. It is to automatically do the things that we know we need to do. And the great thing about this is that it relieves a lot of stress in our lives. Stress really happens when we have to deal with something that's unexpected or there is something new or something different. Stress can be both good and bad, right? We may have stress in traveling, right, to the Feast if we've not traveled here before. If we've gone down a road and we don't know where we're going, that is stressful the first time. You don't know what turn to make. You don't know how the curves in the road are going to work. But after a while, those routes that we take become more automatic. It's less stressful because we know what to expect. We know what to do. And we don't have to make those snap decisions because they've really been made ahead of time. Now, we can find ourselves in routines that are counterproductive too. When we live in a way that where routine decisions are made for us ahead of time so that things are automatic, that can be a problem in itself. When things are automatic, we don't think. We don't have to think, and that's part of the reason behind it, but there may be a problem if we aren't conscious of our behavior. For certain things, it's okay, right? But for others, we really need to be aware of what we do, even if those things are more habitual. Now, this is a great way. Routines and habits are a great way to shape our own behavior, to manage our behavior and growth. Right? What we can do is design the way we do things in our lives, the way that we want to spend our time, to build up the proper product, the outcome that we really want. Now that we are preparing to return to our regular daily lives, where we have more established routines, we really should be looking at ways that we can properly use habits and routines as tools to keep or even increase the spiritual momentum that we have. What are we going to do? We've been able to worship together, fellowship with one another, learn, be inspired, and grow spiritually. This whole Feast of Tabernacles really is designed to disrupt our daily lives so that we can reflect on what we do, on how we live. And now, today, on this last great day, we should all be thinking, what are we going to do now? What are you going to change? What habits do you want to keep? What habits do you want to develop? What habits do you want to stop? Well, I think we all would agree that we want to develop some good habits. I'd like to turn to Joshua 22 and verse 5. A really important point that we should all take away is that good habits must be designed. Good habits aren't an accident. They don't just happen. Good habits have thought behind them, and they are intentional. Joshua 22 and verse 5. But take careful heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. The commandments of God, they provide us with a fundamental structure that we need to help make our decisions. This is the set of rules that we follow so that we know how to design our behavior, how to design our routines. Without those rules, we're bound to make them up ourselves, and that is not going to end in a way that pleases God. We want to please him. We want to walk in his way of life. As it says here in Joshua, walking in his ways is, in effect, taking those laws and commandments, designing routines that we use every day. We walk in that way of life. We use those commandments and that law of God to help us design our behavior. But we need to be careful about it. And that point is brought out here too. We need to be careful about how we apply God's laws in our lives to make sure that we are doing so with all of our heart, with all of our soul, that we do it with intent, with consciousness, and not in a way that is rote, not in a way that we don't have to think. We need to be careful to put that law of God into our heart and soul. God's laws help us to do that. Please turn over to Leviticus 23. Normally, this is something that we hear much, much earlier in the feast. I don't think we've really come across this one yet. Leviticus 23, and I'll read verses 39 through 43. This is about the Feast of Tabernacles. One of those patterns, one of those commandments that we keep. Also, on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. On the first day there shall be a Sabbath rest, and on the eighth day a Sabbath rest, which is today. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of the beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. That forever word means exactly what it says. This is a habit, a routine, a pattern that God wants us to follow forever in our lives. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I and the children, that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out to the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. The Feast of Tabernacles and the other annual holy days are given to us by God as the necessary structure to remember God's ways. How, if we did not have this yearly, annual set of holy days, it becomes very, very, very easy to forget. Without that pattern, it's difficult to remember to live God's way. It's difficult to remember God's purpose. That the whole set of holy days that He has designed for us are set up in such a very specific way. They represent specific events, specific parts of God's plan. Without this, without observing these holy days in a regular way, we forget. And that's how we work as humans. How many people really need to, like, check the dates? Like, when is the feast, right? This is something that we know we need to check and do in a regular way. And it's not by accident. This is a carefully chosen and designed rule of action by God. This feast, observing it the way we do, helps us to build up the character that we need to please God. It is a pattern that we are to follow in a regular way. Jesus Christ kept the feast days as well. It was his custom to do so. Turn over to Luke 2, verse 42 with me. Quite simply, it states there in Luke 2, 42. And when Jesus was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. Jesus Christ kept the feast as a custom. He obeyed and understood the laws of God and observed those days in a regular way. It is there for us as a pattern to follow as well. You know, it's pretty common to hear about the laws of God and these old days that we keep, that you don't have to do those anymore. Jesus Christ did away with them. Well, he didn't. Here we see that he kept those. And we know that God gave those to us to keep forever for a reason. He doesn't want us to forget. Satan does want us to forget. By not keeping these old days, we will forget. These are patterns. These are routines and regular behavior that we can put into our life to understand God's plan better. God doesn't cut corners. He wants us to obey these days and to observe them so that we can learn more. We just heard in the hymn that we sung about David and his regular behavior. I'll read Psalm 119, verse 147 for you. I rise up before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. Here David describes his regular behavior. This is a habit that he built into his life. It was intentional. It didn't happen by accident. He gets up before the dawn every day to pray to God for a reason. to understand his law better, to begin his day with God. Daniel did the same thing, right? He prayed three times a day. That was a habit that he put into his life, to draw closer to God. It's intentional. These little things, as we heard in the sermon before, these little pieces of behavior that we build into our lives have an effect on us. They have an outcome, not only for us, but for generations to come. Turn over to Acts 17, and I'll read verses 9 through 12 there. Acts 17, starting in verse 9. This is about the Bereans. They had some pretty good habits, too. I'll get there myself. Acts 17, verse 9. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those at Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. We can hear about a daily behavior here. The Bereans, intentionally, when they heard the word, they checked it out. That is a small thing, but it is a simple behavior that they incorporated into their lives as a habit. And they had a product from that. How exciting. There's, by changing behavior just a little bit, by adding a little bit of study, the Bereans had a product. There was an outcome that was profitable from this behavior. They learned, they grew, they were converted. Some of them, as well as the Greeks, men and women, because of this behavior. There is fruit to be had when we build in good behaviors, when we design our routines to help us to grow. It's within each one of our power. The power within each of us. How does that go? Whatever. Since we're in Acts 17, I'll have you go up a little ways to verse 1. And I'll read verses 1 through 4 of Acts 17. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia. We were just talking about the pronunciation of Greek words earlier this morning. I'm going to start over and try that again. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus, whom I preach to you, is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas. What's my point in reading this scripture? Well, first of all, Paul had a habit of preaching, but on the Sabbath, right? It was on the Sabbath day. We know that this is something that was carried out since that seventh day when God rested forward until now. And it will continue on into the future. That is a pattern of regular behavior that we can put into our lives, that we do. We observe the Sabbath. And Paul did this. And we read that he preached on the Sabbath. That is something that we do as well. That was a custom, a routine that happens. And just as a side note here, we can see that both the Jews and the Greeks participated. It was just not a Sabbath for the Jews, right? It was Jews and Greeks. The pattern of the Sabbath, that behavior, that routine of observing the Sabbath day is something we can do. Now, something that intrigues me is that by having routines, having these decisions that we make ahead of time, keeping the holy days, keeping the Sabbath day holy, observing God's commandments, this is a way of structuring our lives and behavior so that it becomes easier to make other decisions, so that we can overcome the stress and handle the stress of our lives otherwise. We don't have to make it up. That's all right here for us. There's a really great scripture in Romans 8, verse 1, that I'd like to read with you. Since we're in Acts, it shouldn't be too far away. Romans 8, verse 1. Make sure it reads right here. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There is freedom to be had if we put the law of God in our lives in a spiritual way. Remember, we have to observe those commandments with our heart and soul. But there's freedom. Anybody who's worked on a creative project of any sort really knows that the most frightening thing to face is a blank canvas, an empty page. What do I really need to do in order to design anything, to have an outcome? You need to have parameters. These laws of God give us parameters within which we may be free to make decisions. There's a lot of freedom to be had that the world will tell you is not true. The law is not a burden. The law is there for our sake. Reading John 8:32 for you, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." There's a lot of freedom to be had once we know how our behaviors will be structured. So we have patterns to follow, right? We've got God's laws that help us to design our behaviors. But we also have people who have lived before us who have given us a pattern to follow. Turn over to Philippians 3, and I'll read verses 17 through 21 for you. Philippians 3, starting in verse 17. "Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." We have an example to follow, which provides us with a structure to apply in our lives. Paul says to note those who walk, who have really been able to develop patterns and routines and regular behavior that is consistent with God's commandments. Those who walk in the Spirit of God are a pattern, right? We can learn from others, Paul here included. We don't have to make it up on our own. Now, people, by contrast, Paul provides us some contrast, may be improperly motivated, looking to earthly things. As I've been mentioning here, our behavior must be designed. It must be intentional. But what is our intent? Is our intent to become rich? Is it seeking out earthly things? Is it to be more relaxed, right? We may need relief. We may consider options in our life, behavior that will allow us to, I don't know, do less, not more. I don't know. We must be spiritually motivated. That is the point that I'm trying to get to. When we think about the ways that we want to change our lives and our behavior, we need to make sure that whatever outcome that we want is a spiritual outcome. Do we want to learn more? Do we want to grow more? Yes, should be the answer. What can you do to make that possible? There should be some simple things that you can do more, to grow, to leave this feast increasing your momentum, not letting it fall flat. We can control our behavior. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I'll read verses 13 through 14 there. Second Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 13. Hold fast the pattern of sound works, which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit which dwells in us. It takes faith to apply the structures in our life. We really need to believe that the spiritual growth is worth our time, that we are building that outcome by shaping our behavior. And we need to hold fast to it. We can't just start out on a new direction kind of hoping. We need to completely commit. Really get into it. And hold fast to it. Hold it tight. Treasure it. This way of life, the future, the truth, is more valuable than anything that we could accumulate in this earthly life, this fleshly existence we have. And these things are, these ways that we're talking about, they're for our benefit. It's not for our burden. Structuring our behavior will help us to grow so that we can come out of this world. Okay, so that's... we know that, and we should all be convinced that we have the power to shape our behavior, to change, to do something that will help us to grow. But let's talk about some things that we can do in more concrete terms. Turn with me to Galatians 5, and I'll read verses 16 through 18 there. Galatians 5 and verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Now, walking in the Spirit is a way of life. It is building up those routines so that we know that we are observing the commandments. But we need to do it in the Spirit. We can't do these things without thinking. Observing the Sabbath day is the right thing to do. We know that. We're convinced of it. But do we just go and kind of tune out and just put our body in the right place at the right time? If we're doing that, that is not enough. We need to walk in the Spirit. As we heard in the opening scripture about in Joshua, this is something, this way of life is something we do with all of our soul. That's our body. And all of our heart. It's the way we think. What we put into it. Turn with me to Acts 26. I'd like to read verses 19 through 20. Acts 26, starting in verse 19. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem, and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. Now, you probably didn't catch any words that might indicate routine or regular practice there, but that there's a word here. It's two letters. That word, do. Turn to God and do works befitting repentance. In the Greek, that word is prasso. Prasso is much more than just doing. That word prasso means to perform repeatedly or habitually. That is not a single act. That is a routine behavior. Doing works befitting of repentance is something that should and must be habitual in our lives. Work that bears spiritual fruit. That word prasso shows up in several other places too. Many of them not so favorable. I'll read Acts 15, verse 28 through 29. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these things, you will do well. Farewell. That word do, again, is that same word, prasso. It describes giving up a bad habit and incorporating a good habit. It describes replacing that bad with the good. But it really requires designing our behavior. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9 through 11. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of God, of Christ, that each one may receive to the things done in the body according to what he has done. That word done is prasso, whether good or bad. We will be judged according to the regular practice, the way that we live. The routine behaviors that we have in our life, those fundamental structures that we have in our life, will be used to judge us. It speaks volumes about who we are, our behavior. Philippians 4, verse 9, uses the same word there, that habitual doing. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. Paul instructs us to follow his pattern, his instructions as a pattern. And we need to do that habitually. Make a regular practice of that in our life. Now, those are the good things that we need to do. We've talked about designing our behavior. But what about the bad habits? We need to make sure that our regular practices, our habits, are not ad hoc. They're not just made up off the on the fly. We need to learn to walk a spiritual way. But there's that flip side of the coin where we may have regular behaviors in our life that are not good, not pleasing in God's eyes. Turn with me to John 3, and I'll read verses 20 and 21. John 3, starting in verse 20. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Practicing evil is something we need to be on guard about. There are certain things that we may discover in our lives, bad habits that we have. Things that we're not even thinking about. That's one of the characteristics of bad habits, is that they slip by almost undetected. They happen almost accidentally. Bad habits tend to just kind of happen because this is something I've done and something I've always done, and I just keep doing it. Don't think about it. When you don't think, we fall victim to those evil habits embedding themselves in our lives. You know, these things slip by undetected. Now turn back with me to Matthew 7 and verse 22 and 23. This is a very familiar scripture for us to read. But I read this preparing for this message today, it took on new emphasis for me. Matthew 7, verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Practicing lawlessness is not something that these individuals believed they were doing, but they were. How they were doing it, we don't know for sure. It doesn't matter. The fact is that they were practicing it. They had somehow built in some bad habits that they could not purge, and it made their good works irrelevant. Maybe they were doing these works, casting out demons and prophesying in vain. We don't know that. Maybe they were poorly intended. But what we know is that practicing lawlessness is something that God does not want. Boy, it's subtle. Turn with me over to Luke 18 and verses 10 through 14. We know that we want to obey God's commandments. We want to do things that are good in our lives, change our behaviors to achieve an outcome that is fruitful. That is what we want to do. Luke 18, verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Subtlety is Satan's most powerful tool. The Pharisee here had a good habit, right? He had this seemingly righteous behavior of fasting and tithing diligently, regularly. But it was condemned because of his intention. The outcome that he was seeking was to exalt himself. It wasn't spiritually intended. It goes back to designing our behavior to be spiritually motivated and consistent with God's law. Those two things go hand in hand. You cannot separate them. And here, in this example, that behavior was separated from the spiritual intent. This good habit turned bad. We must be on guard so that it doesn't happen to us. Romans 7:6 reads and states this concept pretty clearly. Romans 7:6. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. We need to serve in spirit, having the spiritual motivation, putting our heart and soul into it, so that we don't just perform deeds, that we're not just fasting and tithing and putting our body in the right place at the right time. The intentions of our heart make a massive difference to the way we will be judged. Remember, God weighs the hearts. We serve in the Spirit, not by the letter. But serving in the Spirit means that we still need to put all of our intent into an action, not just perform the action. The action still needs to happen. Turn with me over to Proverbs 7, and I'll read verses 1 through 4. Proverbs 7, starting in verse 1. My son, keep my words, and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law is the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, and write them on the tablet of your heart. The law that gives us structure, that helps us to build the patterns and behavior that we want, that law needs to be written on our hearts. It's not something that we just do. It's something that we do with intent, not accident. The way that we combat complacency, that really is what pattern and routine behavior is without intent. It's complacency. It is doing things without really thinking. The way we combat complacency is by making sure that we deeply care about our actions. We need to design them to be spiritually motivated. God has designed His laws and commandments to help us be successful in the way we live. We apply them by making them a regular practice and a regular way of life. This is walking in a spiritual way. Yet we need to be careful when we obey them. We need to understand that when we obey the law, we take care to do it right. Not in vain. Not to please men. Not with the incorrect motivation. But to please God. That means that we really need to be concerned with how we actually design our habits and make changes within our lives. We all have to ask ourselves, what do I want to stop doing? What do I want to make a regular practice of doing? That is a question we continually need to ask ourselves. Are we looking at ourselves in a way that will help us to grow? Without reflecting on ourselves, we can't grow. Just static behavior, routine and pattern, without thought and intent behind it, is not growth. We need to start by thinking about the outcome that we're working towards. What is a goal that you have? Is it keeping the Sabbath in a better way than we may currently do right now? Is it being kinder to others? Is it praying more frequently, learning more about a specific topic in the Bible? There's so many tiny things that you can get started with. What kind of change do we want to make in our lives? And what is the patterned, regular habit that will help us to achieve that outcome? Remember, these routines are here. These patterns will help us to go down that direction without having the stress of having to make it up ourselves. We can control it, but it must be intentional. I'll read 1 Corinthians 11:31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. The reason that I read this is that we must be conscious of what we are doing. If we are trying to improve our lives, if we are leaving this feast wondering, what's next? What do I need to do? What can I do to grow? We need to start by judging ourselves. Start with one thing and go from there. Try to build in the regular behavior. the way to fill. I'm going to say that. If we have a bad habit, for example, we may have a bad habit that we want to get rid of and replace it with a good habit. We can remove, by analogy, the air from a glass by filling it with water, right? Replace something bad with something good. That might be a way that you can structure your thought. As we prepare to leave the feast, brethren, we have, in some cases, had life-changing experiences. We may have reaffirmed our beliefs and our convictions. We should be leaving here stronger than we were than when we came. And now is a perfect time to reflect on what we are going to do about it. Changing for the sake of becoming perfect and following Jesus Christ's example is a vital aspect in our conversion. It's called repentance, and it is something that God requires of us. Now is a great time to design good habits in your life. It doesn't happen by accident, and it takes some creativity, but it is all within our power to leave here empowered, to grow, to keep your momentum, and to build in beautiful, perfect behavior as we learn to become part of God's family.